Words of Counsel. Mountain View, California, September 11th, 1906. I feel an intense desire that our work in Mountain View shall be of such a character as to impress the community with the importance of the truths which we believe. It is essential that every family should invite the Savior to be an honored guest in the household. Christ has said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. We do not realize, as we should, what is involved in this promise. We receive but a mere fraction of the advantages that God has promised, because we do not cherish that faith that will take Him at His word. We lack that confidence which would enable us to say, "I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Faith will enable us to say, "Lord, Thou wilt not fail us. Thou wilt give us grace and light, for Thou hast promised, and I believe Thy word." You may say, "I do not feel that I have received the blessing of God." Who has asked you to feel it? It is faith that you need. You are to manifest an unwavering trust in the promises of Jehovah. Ask Him for what He has promised to give you, then praise Him that He has heard you. Do not wait for feeling, rest in faith. From the light that has been given me, I can say that the commercial work, as it has been managed in our larger offices, has proved to be a curse to our people. The Lord has given to us a great work, a work that demands all our energies, and we are to be afraid of commercial enterprises that will absorb the time and talent of men who are needed in gospel work. If at times there is a respite in the office work, there is abundance of work to be found in the field. Let some of the employees go out and distribute our publications and speak the truth to those who know it not. In doing this, they will receive a valuable education. There should be seen in the office at Mountain View a work of education. The workers should become proficient in every part of the work of printing and bookbinding. They should be trained to do missionary work. But there are many who need first to learn lessons in the control of their spirit and the careful selection of their words. If there is a hardness in your voice, if you are in the habit of speaking unkindly, you must have, before you can enter the kingdom of glory, an education in the grace and gentleness of Christ. There is a great work to be done in the publishing of Seventh-day Adventist literature. It would not be well-pleasing to the Lord for us to plan that the work of publishing our books and periodicals, for which we have well-trained workers, should be placed in the hands of unbelievers. If our offices depend upon unbelievers to do their binding, they will often be disappointed in the quality of the work. God desires that all the work we do for Him shall be well done. All the work done in our offices of publication should be so perfect that we may know that the Lord is glorified by its perfection. Let us do our best, and then we can say, "Lord, I have done the best I can. Now I ask Thee to bless the efforts put forth." Then we may expect large results. Every step we take is to be taken intelligently, understandingly, realizing that the inhabitants of heaven are taking note of our work. We are to respect one another. In times of trial or perplexity, before we speak, let us take time to think, to pray. At such times, it is better to be silent than to utter hasty, unconsidered words. "Be still, and know that I am God." Psalm 46, verse 10. Oh, that we might glorify Him here upon earth, and that we might bring light and joy to others. We can help no one by scolding or by harsh words. God is greatly dishonored when some of His own children, who are trying to do His work, are grieved and injured by unjust words spoken by their brethren. We have none too many consecrated workers, not one. But there are too many who are bound up with self, and these need to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Our work will stand on the highest level only as we receive instruction from our Redeemer, and as we unite with one another in our efforts. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18, verse 19. This is a precious promise. Shall we not act in harmony with it? Shall we not seek the Lord earnestly, that we may come into right relation with Him? God has not ordained that all men shall do the very same work or bear the same responsibilities. One man has his line of work, and another has a different line of work. But all are to unite in their efforts. If God has called someone to the ministry and appointed him as a guardian of the church, this commission does not give him license to take upon himself a work that belongs alone to God. He is not to act as a ruler or a judge, for who but God can rightly judge as to the motives of any man? Our duty is to perform in humility of mind and in meekness whatever comes to us, and then to say, "Lord, I have done my best. Now accept my work." Let every man seek to work after the similitude of Christ, remembering that he is not to use force upon any other man. If he will deal tenderly with his brethren, God will not hold him responsible for their mistakes. If you think that someone has done wrong, go and speak to him kindly. Do not tell the whole church. Speak to him as Christ would speak, in gentleness and love. Pray with him, and ask God to teach you what to say. If all would do this, some would be kept from belittling an influence that has worked for the conversion of souls. The health food work. In the night season, a representation was given to me, and some instruction regarding the health food work. A few men were examining some plants having a tangled mass of roots. The roots on some of these were very long. They looked healthy and promising, and men were rejoicing in the prospect of much fruit from these plants with the long roots. Each seemed eager to secure the ones he considered the most promising, and there was contention and strife over them. One of authority appeared in their midst and said, "You do not need these long roots." "Why do we not need them?" some asked. "Because the Lord is honored only with those roots connected with fruit-bearing plants. You are greatly mistaken in supposing that these roots will bring forth fruits such as you desire. A large expenditure of means to secure possession of them will involve you in difficulties that you do not now realize. The Lord has given to some men wisdom in the preparation of certain foods, but no one has a right to engage in the manufacture of foods in a selfish way. No one is justified in using for his own interests the knowledge God has given him to be a blessing to his people. God would not have us purchase for a large sum of money the right to manufacture certain food products. He will give wisdom to others to prepare foods that are simple and inexpensive. But we should have nothing to do with the purchase at large cost of rights to manufacture food products. This is not necessary, for we have amongst us men of intelligence whom God can use in imparting to our people a practical knowledge in the preparation of food products. Wherever the truth is proclaimed, instruction should be given in the preparation of healthful food. I am hopeful that more thorough education in food preparation will be given. But God would be dishonored were we to take a large outlay of means and become amenable to parties in Battle Creek. Let us exercise our ingenuity and encourage those who have talent that can be used in discovering methods of preparing simple and inexpensive foods. You need not pay a large sum of money for the privilege of preparing in a simple manner the products that the Lord has given us so freely. Years ago, I received instruction on this point. Every ray of light that has come to us in the preparation of healthful food is from the Lord and is given to be imparted to His people, not for the purpose of selfishly exalting a few men. We are not to consider the Lord's gifts as merchandise. I am earnestly praying that the Lord will teach us how to work, that we may strengthen one another. Faithfulness in health reform. Improper habits in eating and drinking are a snare to many. We do not study as we should how to keep our bodies and minds in that condition that we may glorify the Lord. I am so thankful that we have the light of health reform, and I am willing to walk in harmony with it. We all stand in moral accountability to God, and we may keep ourselves in health if we will work intelligently, if we will reason from cause to effect. As those who are preparing for translation, let all connected with the office become intelligent in regard to health reform. To some, the principles are new. Some cannot learn as quickly as others, but often they make the best workers in the end.
In your dealings with those who shall come in to work as apprentices, exercise patience towards all. Do not discourage anyone. Do not manifest toward them such a spirit that they will live in constant fear that they will bring themselves under your condemnation. We want to have the angels of God ever with us. This world is the place where we are to prepare for the life to come. We cannot wait until we get to heaven before we are converted. We must be converted here now, in our probationary time. Let us remember that in the publication of our works, we are dealing with truths of heavenly origin. God has given us light. He has given us wisdom and knowledge. He desires us to put these capabilities into His service. My brethren in the ministry, let the sweet Spirit of God come into your service. You cannot afford to be an agent of the enemy, to hurt and destroy and discourage. You are to make the most of your capabilities, given you by God, to prepare yourself for the future, immortal life. And this office, when it shall be rebuilt, may be a place where angels of God shall dwell. If you see that someone is in danger of lightness and trifling, speak to him about this frivolity. Tell him that such a spirit drives away the heavenly messengers. If you will work under the direction of the great medical missionary, your work will be a success. Let us take a straightforward course. Let us talk of the love of Christ and sing praises to Him. He desires us to be cheerful, dwelling in the light of His presence. Bring all the light you can into the world. Let it shine. Let it be revealed in your words and actions. Let your light so shine before men, said Jesus, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. In regard to the plans for rebuilding the office, estimates of the cost were submitted to me, and I regarded the first amount, $25,000, to be reasonable. If it is found that more is needed to meet the demands of the work, it can be raised later. But do not call for too large a sum of money at this time, for the needs of the southern field must be considered. And many calls for help are coming in from needy fields in all parts of the world. If we will do our duty faithfully and carry out God's plans, the necessary means will come, perhaps from some unexpected source. Let us trust in God, as if we believed that He knows all about our circumstances and has an abundance to supply all our need. And now I must close, but I want to tell you that we are praying for you, and we feel an intense desire that God may lead you. My greatest anxiety is that you may be converted. I sometimes fear that some calamity will take away some of our people before they are converted, because they have not sought the Lord while He is to be found, or called upon Him while He is near. May the Lord save us and help us. Lift the standard high, and He will strengthen and bless you.